This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 392 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outland.
This episode, we'd like to thank co-producer Rebecca. In this episode, we will be sharing the Outlander Season 6 premiere in London, coverage that our correspondent Sarah Fraser was able to get. And first, we'll hear from Sarah, and then we'll hear the individual mini interviews. So thank you for listening, and thank you, Sarah, for being our eyes and ears there at the premiere. Okay, so our correspondence experience at the premiere in London for season 6 of Outlander. First of all, welcome Sarah Fraser.
Thank you very much. Very, very happy to be with you, Ginger. Yeah, I'm back in Inverness, back in the Highlands in Fraser country. And very beautiful weather it is. But boy, am I glad I went. It was fabulous.
Tell us a little bit about what you were doing maybe a week or two ago when you first got the ask, like what was your plan, and then hearing from us and then deciding to go, and then kind of the roll up or the ramp up and then the experience.
Okay. Well, a couple of weeks ago when you emailed me, I was editing a book all morning. All afternoon, I was negotiating between carpenters, electricians, plumbers, painters, because I'm moving house. So between editing a book all morning, I'm doing Jacobite crime fiction at the moment, moving house procedural rubbish all afternoon, that only leaves sleep. So when you said, do you want to go to London and cover the Outlander premiere for me? I thought, oh, yes, of course I do. Oh, my God, how am I going to fit this in? And I really shouldn't do this. Yes, but I want to do it. No, I shouldn't do it. I must. So I was always going to do it, but it was a bit harum scarum and I had to gather myself together. But what an opportunity. When I got there, first of all, there was a very cold northeasterly wind blowing, although it was beautifully bright. And when you're in the press pack, they shuffle you round the back to what they so kindly call the artist's entrance, i.e. the back door where they also put the rubbish out. And you all go in and you get your accreditation and you wait around. And then when they're ready, they take you through. And suddenly you're going from backstage to front stage, basically. And you enter the magic of the world of the premiere, where everything's being set up, the red carpet, which is beautiful, like red velvet just rolling out towards the River Thames, and flowers and lights, and there is an increasing buzz. And I tell you why I think the buzz was particularly gleeful, joyous and effervescent that day. This, we are going into the third year since COVID. You know, all through March 2020, we locked down over here. All through 21, we're now going into 2022. And Katrina, when she gave the welcome at the screening, she kept talking about this phrase we've heard forever, you know, Droughtlander, when's Droughtlander going to end? And it ended that night, because in England, the COVID restrictions had lifted. And so people were ripping off their masks and having an absolute ball. And the press pen was stretched out and everybody was just so excited. You got even hardened old cameramen with their well-thumbed equipment standing up. And there was a lot of joshing and joking as they stood up on their chairs so they could be higher than everybody else. And then again, when the stars came in, they were talking. A lot of them said, you know, it's over. It's over. It's a proper premiere. We're out. And they were happy to be there. And we were so happy to see them. And it was essentially a match made in heaven. And I just thought, yes, this is what we're here for. Get your phone up, get your tripod going and see who you can talk to.
So what you're saying is you kind of had a little bit of a good time, and other people did too.
I had such a good time. I mean, I was an emotional wreck afterwards, obviously, because I gave it my all. But it's slightly nerve-wracking when you think to yourself, we were so fortunate to be offered, because Katrina's had her baby. She was in America, over on stateside, your side. And so we were offered small interviews with her one-to-one. That's an enormous privilege. I mean, even I, a newbie, the new girl on the block here, I understood that that was great privilege. And she was lovely to be with. She was very easy to talk to, really listens to your questions and really thinks about how she's going to answer and gives thoughtful and therefore very interesting answers. And in fact, they all do. They all are really wanting to tell you what it is that they want you to think and feel about this series. And that includes Sam. And I was really lucky to get him. But I've done a little bit of work with him before for Men in Kilts when they did that first series in the Highlands. And so I'd met him before. And naturally, this was getting towards the end of the red carpet moment. And I thought, oh, no, his handler's going to take him away. So I was jumping up and down and drawing attention to myself. And I'm so glad my children couldn't see me because they just would have said, you know, mum, get over yourself. But it had to be done. I had to do it for the team, Ginger. I had to, for the Outlander pod team, I had to take one for the team. And so I was shameless. And he was charming, gallant, and again, interested. And we talked about Jamie as a chief and all sorts of, you know, some Scottish stuff and also things to do with season six, obviously. And then at the end of that, I could collapse in a satisfied heap, basically saying, where is my glass of wine? Show me this episode one. It was fabulous. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, no, we're so happy you could go. If a fan could attend and was waiting outside, they could watch the red carpet, but they weren't on the red carpet like you were on the side trying to interview. What do you think? How would you describe to someone the biggest difference of that? Because even though you were press, you were in a position to see things happening as well.
Oh yes, you are. You are part of that. You enter that little magic circle for an hour or two. You are there together. The stars and the press, they are wanting to explain to you about what's been going on in this last series. And you are wanting them to explain that because you're the medium through which this is going to get out to all the fans and everybody else. And so you enter that world. You're part of it. In the end, you are part of the publicity that's announcing the arrival of season six to everybody. And you're a little cog in this massive machine. And that is very satisfying, but also intensely pleasurable. And it's great fun because you can tell they're happy with this series, that they feel they've pushed the boundaries in some of the characters in certain ways. And some things have gone further than they have done before in terms of, you know, characters have really deepened in our experience of them and how we feel them on the screen. But in terms of the fans, yes, they were outside. But then, of course, quite a lot of people had tickets and they started to come inside. And there, we were in this sort of atrium in the front of the Royal Festival Hall, which is a vast venue. It's huge. And all the fans were on the stairways going all the way up and around so they could look over into this sort of well of light and noise and lights and chatter and magic down in the bottom. And that contributes to their pleasure and their excitement, because again, they're here after 2 years or so of COVID and none of this kind of easy fun. There we all are together. Everybody has a part to play in those events. Everybody. You know, the fans are what it's all done for. We are the reason they keep going, you know, because they're appreciated and watched. And so there's a great sort of symbiosis going on, actually. Everybody knows we're all pleased to be there.
So a few cheeky questions before I let you go. Who is your favorite to interview?
It's going to be Sam or Katrina, just because they gave you a lot of time. I mean, the others gave you a lot of time as well, but they are the dominant characters. They are the big dominant characters, and there is so much to talk about. And they were both interested and interesting about what has happened in season six. So it'd have to be one of them. I can't really. I wanted to keep talking to both of them, you know, very much. You know, they're very easy to talk to, really easy to talk to, actually. It was like you and I talking. It's really easy.
Where did you sit when you went inside?
It was quite dark when I went in. Mm-hmm. So I sort of fumbled my way to a seat. But it's a huge, without, you know, classic movie. Would you just get in your seat? You know, we're trying, it's going to start soon. So I sort of clunked my stuff along saying, sorry, the way you do. And pouring your popcorn into everybody's lap and sloshing your wine all over their handbags. You know, very popular at that moment. And I sat down. It's a huge venue, as I say, inside and out. So the screen was vast. They had the whole London Philharmonic Orchestra, which is 100 people strong anyway, plus the London Philharmonic Choir behind them, plus the two soloists. And then the conductor comes on. He's also got a mixing deck and a screen. And when the screener started, it was just they'd stripped out the music, so it was only the audio, and all the music was live, which makes it so fresh and enormous a sound. It was fantastic. It was such a privilege to see it there. It was just quite overwhelming. Such a friendly event. It was a happy, friendly event. It was kind of, we're free and we're doing what we love doing, and you know, with these wonderful people, and how nice is that? You know, does it get any better, really?
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday. Again, thank you so much for everything that you've done. But we will have you back in the not too distant future to discuss some of those things you were talking about, some of the stuff you were working on during the day before we contacted you.
Yes, before you interrupted my flow.
Before we interrupted your life for a few weeks.
Although I tell you what, I booked. This is how kind of slightly nervous I was about it. All those storms were coming through, those storms that were causing pandemonium in Europe. So I booked a couple of flights and I thought, oh, what am I going to do if I can't? Because I, you know, the plane was being chucked around the place. I mean, it was very bouncy. And I thought, oh, no, if they cancel it, how am I going to explain this? You know, so I was really lucky. It all came off. It all came all right on the night.
It did. So, dear listener, we now will leave you with the audio from the interviews that Sarah was able to do. Sarah, thank you so much. We will speak with you very soon.
Thanks, Ginger. Thank you.
Okay, right. Take care.
Bye. Good night.
Katrina Balfe, who plays Claire Fraser.
Hi there. My name is Sarah Fraser, and I'm from the Outlander podcast in California, but they're still quite COVID coy, so they're not over here tonight.
Okay. Hi. How are you, Sarah?
I'm very well. Congratulations, first of all, birth of your baby.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, that's tremendous. I'm on grandchildren now, but it's just, you've just given yourself a whole new world. And I mean, complicated, but
fine. Yeah, no, but it's amazing. Thank you.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
To go down to business, I wanted to ask you about Malva and the Christies when they arrive on the ridge. Something in Claire seems to be she finds her quite appealing. There's something about her that she likes. She doesn't know really much of her backstory, of course, but is that right? What did you think Malva was going to be to you in that, or to Claire in that?
Yeah, no, I think when Claire first meets her, I mean, Malva is such an intense young woman, and her first interactions, I think Claire is a little bemused by her, but she sees within her this real thirst for learning and this real need to sort of go beyond the confines of her very strict father and brother. And I think Claire can really sense how Malva needs an outlet. And that's something I think Claire recognizes from her own self. I think she sees something of herself in Malva and she feels very maternal towards her. But also this idea that she wants to learn and she has an interest in what Claire's doing. You know, she really feels like if she takes her under her wing that she'll be able to help her, because she does. I think she definitely sees that she's troubled. But it's beautiful. I love the way that they bond in the beginning, and you can see Malva start to blossom, and, you know, she really takes a shine to everything that Claire's doing and such an interest. And, you know, I think sometimes Claire feels like she wished, you know, maybe Brianna would have taken more of an interest, but it's not sort of in her sphere. So it's this lovely relationship that they build. And of course, then it becomes a lot more complicated.
A lot. But that gives the kind of emotional jeopardy and the sort of agony to it, doesn't it? You know, that's the trick of it. But Claire in this series also is packing quite a lot of her own baggage. I mean, you have now had to recreate the role, enter into the role of someone who's experienced violent sexual assault and also then trying to recover from that. And this is a highly competent woman with agency who's a carer, not a cared person. But you are, you carry all women's dread in a way. You know, it's who hasn't felt the fear coming on the back of their neck? I mean, how has that play out in this next series where you need to be, it's taken something from you and it slightly breaks you. It has to.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think previous seasons, anytime anything happened to Claire, and I think she was very much a product of women of her time, having just gone through a world war, you were taught to just take things, put them in a box, move on. And that's very much how she dealt with stuff. And I think that's probably why she's also such a good doctor. She's able to compartmentalize really well. And she's always up until this point really compartmentalized everything. And this time, and I think this is a couple of reasons why, I mean, obviously the violent sexual assault is something that was so horrific that it's not something that you're able to just move on past. I also think there was something to do with Claire's age at this point. It's a real transition age for a woman. And everything accumulated where that way of functioning, that way of compartmentalizing just didn't serve her anymore. And we see her unravel in a way that we've never seen her unravel before. And partially because she has always been the rock for other people. She doesn't know how to ask for help. She doesn't know how to recognize when she's not able to just carry on as normal. And she tries to. When we see her at the beginning of the season, it's exactly what she's trying to do. She's trying to put the brave face on. She's trying to be there for everybody. And what we see is that she starts leaning on other things to help her cope. And of course, that's not going to serve her either. That's going to exasperate the problem. But what I loved is that the writers really gave it time to sort of have us be able to unpick her, but then find a new way of having her to be able to cope. And really, it was one of the best challenges I've had in a couple of seasons is exploring Claire in this way and learning how to find her deepest, darkest fears and what would happen if they came to the forefront. And then how would you be able to alleviate that? And it was sort of, I think, the best challenge I've definitely had in a couple of seasons. So it was good in that way. Sad for Claire, but in a way, it was good for me.
Great actress. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Back to your baby.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Joanne Thompson, who plays Amy McCollum.
Hi there. Oh, yeah, you just need to be just there. Just to be right. So, Amy, she is a hell of a character. She arrives in that entourage, doesn't she, with the Christies. But Roger comforts her. Should Brianna be worried about that?
No, she shouldn't be worried. I mean, like, have you seen me in a bonnet? I mean,
you're gorgeous in a bonnet.
But yeah, I think they're friends. I think, you know, it's a little taste of Scotland for both of them. I think it brings them together. You know, I think having that recent like little taste of Scotland is lovely for them. And I think both of them is massive.
Oh, that's a real union.
Yeah,
because
the songs in Scotland, the tartan. I'm a Scotland. If I was in North Carolina, and you know, you watch your husband, you know, the whole world is coming.
Paul Gorman, who plays Josiah and Keziah Beardsley.
Sarah Fraser, and I'm from the Outlander podcast. They're actually Californian, but they're still a bit COVID coy about coming over. And you're Scottish.
I'm in a Scottish kilt.
What is it?
I know.
Is that your tartan?
Oh, it is a
tartan.
I am a novice
phraser. Oh, good for you. I'm a Gorman, but this is not a Gorman tartan.
No, it isn't. What
it's
is
a,
it?
It's a modern Douglas.
It's a modern Douglas.
Mother Douglas.
Let me just go
pan
like
down.
This.
We're going to get a little shot of that.
Yes. You were allowed in the theatre with that
one. I know, nobody searched me yet, so it's me later on. But yeah,
I just thought we're kids. It's
Scottish show, my first premiere, I'm Scottish.
Well, that's why I
won. Well, yeah, Isa, absolutely so.
Tell me, who gets the girl?
Oh. I can't say. We do take a lot of inspiration from it. Yes. I think what's really great about Outlander, is that we are very loyal to the...
Caitlin O'Ryan, Lizzie Weems.
Yeah, there's one more here. Hi, how are you?
I'm Caitlin, nice to meet you.
Yeah, Caitlin, I know, because otherwise I want to call you Lizzie. But... are you going to find love?
Am I going to find love? That's a perpetual question.
That's a perpetual question in life. But I mean, are you?
Yeah, well, you'll have to tune in to find out on that one. Yeah. But I think she's well on her way to making it her absolute priority.
Yes.
Is what I would say.
That's what a girl's got to do. Yeah, I've got daughters your age.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tell them. You don't take it seriously.
She wakes, she eats, sleeps, repeats. Men, I think. It's there. It's going round and round and round. Yeah. So, yeah, I think she's doing her utmost to make that happen for all of us.
She also has to in that day and age. Yeah. I mean, women had to get married. That's all.
Of course.
You know,
survival. Security, survival. I think, you know, her life has been upended so many ways. And I think all she's wanting now is security and love and warmth and affection. And, you know, that's what she's looking for. So hopefully she finds it.
Jessica Reynolds, that Malva Christie.
Just one little question.
No worries.
What is the one thing that you want us to take for about Malva from this series?
Malva.
The most important thing for the viewer to...
The most important thing, I think, is that... often nowadays and back then, is that women have a harder job in getting through this world than men.
Yes.
And I think she showcases that.
Yes. Brilliant. Thank you, my darling. Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
And finally, Sam Heughan, our Jamie Fraser.
You too.
Is there a chance I haven't taken it?
Which one? Yes.
My lady of the
kill. Oh my god. How are you doing for all, doing that? It was such fun. It's been really well received.
Well, it was a pleasure. It was a gas. And as I say, you know, having lost my husband 3 months earlier, it was suddenly, I thought, what am I doing? And then you two were there. And you were so nice and so gallant and so...
We could have spent a lot longer there, I know.
It was
and it was such a strange... almost a strange place to be, but I guess that's Scotland, right? It's so many stories and so many... Yes.
Can I ask you one thing about this? In this series, I've seen the first episode.
Right.
And what it seems to me is that things are becoming untenable.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie is a highly principled, decent man. And he is the values of clanship, the kin, not the one, and anyone can join.
Right.
So he's trying to take care of everybody. And that...
Again, a very special thanks to co-producer Rebecca. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you joining us for the rest of our coverage of Season 6, which begins next Sunday, March 6th, 2022. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20. Outlander20 for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.